everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. We begin our program today with a study from the University of California at Los Angeles. And it's talking about an herb that I'm sure many of you have used, and certainly if you've eaten in Indian restaurants, you've eaten it, and that's curcumin. That's the active ingredient in turmeric. Now, what it says is that if you have curcumin, it can boost your brain DHA levels. That's important. Why? Because the DHA in curcumin in the brain helps enhance its conversion from the omega-3 precursor in the liver. And that was published in a peer-reviewed journal. And it shows that you simply are going to have a boost in your brain. You're going to have better cognition. And it's just one more thing that we can add to the puzzle of life that we're not taking in enough of, and some people not at all. A lot of people eat the standard American diet where there is no turmeric in that diet, and there's no curcumin in their diet or supplementation. And so if you want a healthier cell, you do two things. One, you don't take anything that causes inflammation. And two, you try to take in things that actually regenerate the stem cells, because the younger your stem cells are, the longer you live, and the more vital your organ becomes, whatever organ, the heart, the brain, the lungs, liver, kidneys, etc., and your muscles. So if we just live a normal life, we'll live about 75 years, more or less. We've had years taken off that. If you live in New York City, it's almost 5 years. In the last 3 years, we've lost. We've never seen anything like this in history. Because of good hygiene, because of refrigeration, because of antibiotics, and also because of more exercise, especially in youth during the 1950s and 60s and 70s, where we really began to get into running marathons, we've extended our lifespan. At the same time, however, in the last 20 years, we've become so used to taking in convenience foods that we've shortened our lifespan. We've caused inflammation in every organ of our body. But because so many people are doing it, we consider that normal. It's not normal. It may be average, but it's not normal. Now, let's say you're not that person. You're a person that really cares about your health and longevity. Then your lifespan is going to be more like 95. Yes, you will have 20 more years onto your lifespan than a person who is just going along with a standard American diet and lifestyle. But then you can even extend that lifespan even more by another 20 years in good health, without disease, and without looking and feeling old and worn out. More on that on an upcoming Classroom on the Air. So take your curcumin. It helps your brain. We already knew that it helps prevent cancer. Now, from Marshall University, there's a spicy compound found in chili peppers that slows lung cancer progression. So, according to Marshall, findings from a new study show that the compound responsible for chili peppers' heat could help slow the spread of lung cancer, the leading cause of cancer death for both men and women. Most cancer-related deaths occur when cancer spreads to distant sites. That's called metastasis. According to the authors, Jamie Friedman at the Marshall University School of Medicine, lung cancer and other cancers commonly metastasize to secondary locations like the brain, the liver, the bone, making it more difficult to treat. Well, in experiments involving three lines of cultured human non-small cell cancer lung cancer, the researchers observed that what is called capsaicin, C-A-P-S-A-I-C-I-N, inhibited the invasion. That's the first step in stopping metastatic cancer. You stop it from invading. They also found that the mice with metastatic cancer that consume capsaicin showed smaller areas of metastatic cancer cells in the lung compared to the mice not receiving it. Additional experiments revealed the capsaicin suppresses lung cancer metastasis by inhibiting activation of a protein, SRC. This protein plays a role in signaling that controls cellular processes such as proliferation, differentiation, motility, and adhesion. So, how about this for simplicity? Put more of this capsaicin or the chili pepper and your spicing mix. Put it into brown rice and two beans with dishes. With dishes with beans and also into like a baked potato. It's good for you. Gives a little extra heat to the dish you're eating, but it's also anti-cancer. There's a group of individuals who are called super agers. Now, what makes them live so much longer? Well, the University of Rochester Medical Center wanted to see what steps could help reveal that. So according to the university, in their quest for the proverbial fountain of youth, scientists have long looked for evidence of super agers, people whose brain ages slower than their body. Researchers at the Del Monte Institute for Neuroscience, University of Rochester, have found older adults whose brain's performance improves when they combine cognitive task and walking. You heard me right, a cognitive task with walking. Quote, identifying superagers will leverage what we understand about the brain and aging. And this was published in NeuroImage, the peer-reviewed journal. So researchers had the participants complete the same cognitive task while sitting and then while walking. And the men and women, average age 62 to 79, scored similarly while sitting. But the same group repeated the test while walking. Researchers found some individuals improved their cognitive performance substantially. Here's what they said, quote, we think this brain activity might constitute signatures of superaging. We were able to find people, and now that we know where and how to look in the brain to find these superagers, we can find more. So what's this mean? What's the takeaway message? The participants whose cognition improved while walking showed that their brain was able to adapt and improve at the task. It had flexible usage of certain frontal resources, but those same people lost their flexibility in using the rest of their neural resources, similar to their peers who did not improve at the task while walking. This suggests the brain's ability to adapt or its flexibility in reallocating neural resources while walking might be an important factor in protecting cognition as we age. Now, how would I use this? How would I use this in a day-to-day life? I would start by making a list of things that I wanted to focus on. And then I would do simple math, like 10 and 7, 17, 17 and 20, 37, 37 and 40, 77. And so, but I'm doing it while I'm walking. So while I'm walking, I'm challenging my mind in simple math. Now you can also do the same thing. And here's something more fun, and I do this all the time. I write as I walk. So when I'm out there, I'm not like Tom Courtney in the film a long time ago in the 1960s, Loneliness, the Long Distance Runner. I'm using my mind. So I'm writing my commentaries, my essays. I'm writing introductions to the chapters in my books. Every step I'm taking, I'm creating. And then you talk it out loud. You first think it, and then you talk it. Because as you speak, you're creating a new memory bank for what you just were speaking about. So in effect, you're creating tape recorders that are recording everything you say, and that becomes very current. So this way, you can really remember. So when you get home, for example, when I get home, I'll then call, and I call, and I can dictate faster than I can type. Pretty good typist, but I talk a lot faster than I type. And I talk and I dictate, and then some editor takes that and sends it back. Then I do my editing, and then I have something finished. But what if I had just sat down from scratch and thought of something to write? I could do it, but I find it really, really picks up the pace when I'm doing it this way. Let's do another test. How about this one? We have a problem. So let me summarize what we can do that's very important, easy, cost us nothing. Try this. And I'll just give you one example. Let's just say that you're trying to get yourself on a healthy diet, and you'll do a few things that are healthy, and then you just succumb to those things that are unhealthy. And most people do that. Okay, so you have something once in a while that's not healthy, but your body can recover from that. It's what you do every day that your body doesn't recover from. So you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, what are my solutions? You go on a diet plan, and you're thinking about this, and you write it down. Now, take the same identical task. How can I be more consistent in eating healthy? And you walk. And you walk briskly, and then you think it out loud and talk it out loud, as if you were in front of a group saying, "Hi, I'm Gary, and I have a problem being disciplined with my food. Now, as a result of that, I have two lists. One list is almost everyone who overeats is eating the wrong food. People rarely overeat healthy foods. Nobody gets obese by eating Sprout salads. So when I'm overeating, I'm doing the following. Let's look at it. I'm adding unnecessary calories to my body. That changes my metabolism. I'm putting more pressure upon my blood pressure, my blood sugar, my triglycerides, cholesterol, low-density lipoproteins, fibrinogen, homocysteine, and C-reactive protein. All of those things are going to cause me to die sooner and frequently die of a heart attack or stroke. And I'm going to get diabetes. And with diabetes, I can get diabetic neuropathy, chronic pain 24/7, where I can't even walk. And then that can also lead to gangrene, where I'll lose my toes or foot or leg, very common, or diabetic blindness, where I'll lose my vision and go blind. Also, almost everything I'll be eating will be pro-inflammatory, and all of my organs and all of my cells are going to be inflamed. That's going to be that my immune system's on 24/7 trying to turn off this inflammation. My brain is going to have amyloid beta plaques put down, and that's going to cause me to lose my memory, go into dementia earlier, possibly in my 40s or 50s. I'm going to lose my muscle strength. I'm going to lose my longevity. I'm literally eating myself to death. So what is the benefit? What do I gain? I gain death. I gain injury. I gain disease. I gain a sense of low self-esteem for not having the discipline. Now, what can be a solution? Okay, what do we need in order to succeed in life at anything? We need the five harmonies. We need be in the right place at the right time, with the right idea, the right support system, be the right person. If any one of those are not right, you're not going to have success. So let's just say that as of today, I'm going to say, I count. I count, and I help other people. So how can I help other people if I'm not helping myself? So it begins with me. It is completely acceptable to say, I have to care about myself. And therefore, what do I need to care for myself? I need discipline. I need focus. I need to touch a deeper level of my awareness, my spiritual self. So why haven't I touched that spiritual self? Well, I'm afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid that I've gotten so used to being, let's say, undisciplined, that my habits, all my comforts, my comfort food, my comfort binge-watching television, or comfort going on the internet, 25 times a day to see if I have any likes, I'm going to have to give that up because that's worthless, useless, counterproductive, counterintuitive, and counterscience? Yeah. So, in other words, I'm going to have to change my perception of myself. I'm thinking of myself as a very weak person, a person that is a coward to one's own life. Yeah. Well, I'm not a coward. Then prove it. I'm going to have to get some support in here. There's no shortages of wonderful human beings in this world who'd be happy to help you make that change, be there in that transition. You only need him during that transition where you get up on your feet and you get your balance and you're saying, now, everything in my life must have positive balance. Now, positive balance is not doing something negative and then something positive. That's not balance. There's a zero-sum gain there. You gain nothing. You've got to be positive and positive. And most people are negative and negative, but they disguise it through maladaptive personality traits. So in other words, I can't change anything until I change my perception that I can change. But I've had this whole defense mechanism. Hey, Gary, want to go out for a power walk? I have no idea. I've got 68,000. I got a mountain of stuff to do. I can't do it. Okay, no problem. I understand. Hey, Gary, want to go down to the farmer's market, get some fresh fruit? No. How about let's just spend a day juicing and then freeze what we've juiced and, you know, and I'm going to get some stuff juiced and we'll do it together. No. Why not, Gary? Well, because quite simply, you know, I got a can of beer in the refrigerator. Why not drink that? That's just alcohol water. Juice is going to rejuvenate your stem cells. You see, once you get used to showing that you have no strength of character, then every single positive opportunity you have to reject. Even if it's your life is held in the balance. Doctor, do I have any chance of living? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You got stage 4 cancer. We've tried chemotherapy, tried radiation surgery, it's grown back. There's nothing more to work with. Go into hospice care. Okay. Oh, by the way, there is this guy who's got some alternative cancer treatment, and evidently some people benefited, but, well, why didn't you use it? Oh, we don't believe in it. You know, we only use what we know really works. But 550,000 people die each year in the United States from orthodox treatment. I know, but look, hey, we're doing what has been proven in our science. So then I should just go ahead and hospice care and not even try something? Yeah. Okay, so I'll just go into hospice care. More people would rather die accepting orthodoxy and its limitations than challenge themselves. You see, these are the conversations you have to have. If you have these conversations with yourself, and then you start to realize, wow, I better have a more honest conversation, ask myself more critical questions, even if it makes me feel embarrassed or humiliated, because that's how we grow. And those conversations, when you're walking, are a whole lot different than the conversations when you're just talking with someone who is supporting you in your bad choices. And most people support us in our bad choices because they know we're not going to change. But what if we surprise people? What if we showed people that no matter what our age, we still feel vital and we still feel we can change and still create and still do good things? Good for you. So you see, something as simple as talking as you walk, and talking as if you're talking to a group of persons, trying to talk yourself into something that is good and talk yourself out of something that is unhealthy or wrong. If you don't have that conversation and have it out loud, then it isn't going to happen. And we all know that. Just look at all the people you know. Look at yourself and how many times on January 1st, I'm going to do a new resolution. And how long did that take before you surrendered it? So, surround yourself with people who are always challenging the dark side of their being, because they're the ones who are going to see yours real quick and be there to support you when you go to change yours. And that way we're not limited. Oh, and by the way, one last thing from the Laboratory of Respiratory Disease, practicing Tai Chi helps improve respiratory function in patients with COPD. That's good news. And practicing and listening to music may help prevent cognitive decline. University of Geneva in Switzerland. I've said a lot of learn music, learn to play music, learn a new language, learn a new word. What if every day you learned one new word that was a practical word that you could use in conversations that helps you grow, helps your brain? This was published in NeuroImage. So you see, we've got a lot we can do. And by the way, Harvard University in Harvard Medical News came out with a study today that how diet may help protect against effects of insufficient sleep. And that's important. So a healthy diet can help neutralize some of the negative effects if you don't have enough sleep. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come right back with a whole lot more to share. Please stay with us. Yesterday, about how we can survive and thrive by being honest with the problem and proactive on the solutions. Now, most of us will agree, no matter what your background, of the problems, especially if they've touched you. For example, right now we have millions upon millions of Americans who've been adversely affected by the vaccines, and millions upon millions more who will be, because we're seeing all these latent or longer to take before you see a reaction. But the reactions are ones we've never seen before. We've never seen self-organizing nanolipid particles congealing into these strings that clog the arteries and veins, causing death. We've seen symptoms that are in no medical textbook. No doctor has experience. So when you show to a doctor, "Doctor, I took the vaccines and now this is happening," they do tests and they can't find anything. If they can't see it, they can't measure it, it doesn't exist. Therefore, they'll say, "Well, it's not from the vaccine." And now we're finding it is, because these are on molecular levels, not easy to see. Now they're starting to say, "Well, yes, we're beginning to see these things." Now they're beginning to admit that there's phenomena that they should have paid attention to and didn't. Everything was rushed, rush, rush, rush. So we're asking, let's just take a look at everything that's going wrong in our society. And there's certain common denominators that cause this. So what if we changed our mindset and started to take control of our lives, stop trusting everything that is said by so-called authority figures? Imagine how many different parts of our life would improve. If I don't trust what a banker says, then I'm going to be responsible for where I put my money, how I spend my money, and not looking at my credit as an asset, but rather my credit as a debt. And I want to keep out of debt, especially with what's coming at us, as you'll see in upcoming programs. But what if I don't care to pay attention to my own inner intuition? If I see something on television and everyone's saying how cool it is to have that, drink that, eat that, drive that, buy that, and I go ahead and do this, then I'm just an impulsive creature in their design. And that's why I said the other day, let's look carefully at everything that's happening. For example, yesterday I gave you one example of a 97-year-old woman who went on a trip, and then when she came back, was coming back after a couple weeks from the trip, she couldn't because of the quarantine in Australia, her home. As a result of that, the government cut her pension by half, but kept her rent at the highest level. So she was in a catch-22. She had less money to pay against a higher debt. Now, before, she was just able to manage. She had a nice home. She had plants all over the home, and she had pictures of it. And now it's just all run down, and yet it's not been rented. In fact, all these other apartments where she lives are all empty. So wouldn't the government do something to help this woman? First of all, help her get back her pension? No. How about having her get a two-room apartment that her son said so she can have her own bedroom? I can have my own bedroom. The answer was no. Why? Why would anyone vote in the first place for someone who was so callous and indifferent to the public need? That's what we become. Not only the people perpetrating this, but the people accepting it. For someone to have power, you have to give them that power. It doesn't exist otherwise. Power is an illusion. It does not exist until someone says, I have it. Richard Nixon, the most powerful man in the world, one day, and holding up the V sign and both arms stretched out, going up in the helicopter to go to San Clemente, California, as he resigned office, having no power. From power to no power in 24 hours. When you find that a school teacher has sexually abused a student, teacher of the year to disgrace of the year. So just understand, everything is fluid in life. Nothing is permanent. Life is constantly changing. We're constantly changing. We're constantly aging. So why don't we try to get at the base of all this, the quantum understanding of life, the purpose and meaning of life? Because if we do that, then we're not going to do the wrong thing. I'll give you an example. This goes back almost 40 years ago when I was doing a lecture. And a person, and I do interactive lectures. I never just do a static lecture where I talk and they listen. I want people to challenge and give me their point of view. And someone says, well, Gary, you know, we're basically moral people. And I said, how do you know that? I said, what would happen tomorrow in New York City on Fifth Avenue, where you have all your high-end stores, jewelry stores, and what would happen if you took out all the windows to all the stores? It's still against the law to steal, but you make it a lot easier. There wouldn't be a thing left in those store windows in an hour. Now let's go a different level. Let's say we no longer make it against the law to steal. How many people that wouldn't have stole because they were afraid of being caught and put in jail or somehow adversely affected, the deterrent was the consequence of my action. Now think of it this way. A person who was raised properly, whose mother and parents and grandmothers and aunts and uncles raised them properly, if you gave them the chance to break the law, they wouldn't. If you gave them the chance to steal, they wouldn't. If you said that there's a real purge once a year, that movie, that now it's been very popular, for 12 hours, from 6 to 6, 6 at night, 6 in the morning, you could kill anyone you wanted, no consequences. And it was a way of relieving the psychic anger that builds within people. Okay. So you were given a chance to kill anyone you wanted. Would you kill them? If you knew that you wouldn't be punished, oh, we would have a bloodbath in this country. That's what happens when you balkanize people, and then they go tribal, and then they go primordial. They go in reverse to a quantum survival state because you've conditioned them, propagandized them, and propagated the notion that the other is the enemy. They have no value. See, you can't hate, you can't hurt, you can't be biased, you can't be racist, you can't be misogynist against someone who is sacred to you. They're revered, they're protected. But anyone who's not, do what you want and glorify it. And that's what we've done. We've taken legitimate concern for those individuals within the police who have committed crimes against humanity, arresting people based upon their color or gender. And we have said that's all police, therefore defund all police. It's not all police. You see those examples and you should see those examples. They should be held accountable to the full extent of the law when they have gone against the power that that badge and that gun has given them. But why don't you also show all the good police who would not dare do something like that? These are my friends. I've had two friends of 25 years who never took their gun out in their entire career, who came to a situation that required intervention, and they did so without violence because that's their nature. And others will seek an excuse to exploit their violent nature against a civilian. But one is the majority, the peaceful, and we don't give them the credit that they're due in their integrity, their decency, their wanting to calm something down. But we emphasize only one and say it represents all. And we've done that time and again, where one person, based upon their color or their religious views, does something and, oh, then it's all of them. But it's not all of them. You see, what I'm saying is we've got to start thinking in a quantum way of dealing with the basics of life, and therefore you wouldn't steal even if you had an opportunity because it's against your spiritual values. It no longer allows you to live with respect for the other because you profited their loss. You didn't earn that. The same way with an educational system. I can say this with some personal input because I've been a college professor for 45 years. Not once in 45 years did I ever have a confrontation with a student. Not once did anyone bring their cell phone into the class because I said, do not interrupt the class. If you're here, then be here, not on a cell phone. They could have, they didn't. As a result, they came to learn, and I took them into deep water. Every one of my lectures was to motivate people to think beyond the pale. That's why at Fairleigh Dickinson University, I was never put in a classroom, because there was no classroom that would hold that many people. They put me in the general auditorium, and it was filled, including with other deans like Dean Calusi and his wife who would come and hear the lectures, because it challenged people. The whole idea is challenge people, make them feel uncomfortable until they start coming up with some solution of why they're uncomfortable. If you're on a bed of nails, don't adapt to the pain and the callous ends of those nails on your skin. Get up, transition and transform your thoughts. We're not doing that. Not enough of us are doing it. And it's getting worse. As of today, from the University of California, poverty is the fourth greatest cause of death in the United States. Poverty. This is according to an article in the current issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association's Internal Medicine. So if it's the fourth leading cause of death, and we have a war on cancer and a war on AIDS, and we have a war on poverty, maybe we should change from the metaphor and look for how we can resolve this by preventing it. We could prevent all poverty in the United States. We could prevent so much crime if we simply use the tools that historically have worked and we refuse to use them because we have this new woke identity mindset, and it is permeating like a metastasized cancer into every area of life, and especially in the media and in governmental bodies. Do you think it's to liberate you? It's to control you. On yesterday's program, I talked about the importance of having basic human rights. I mentioned the human right of freedom of thought and conscious and religious beliefs, being able to be free to know a healthy food from a sick food. You have to have input. You have to know what genetically modified foods are and why they're bad and you shouldn't take them because they're becoming a part of your body. And you should know what a healthy food is and why it's healthy and why you should consume it. You should have safe shelter. We have more than a place. It's just have everyone have a place to live. So why don't we offer places? But we don't. We should have universal health care, and we don't. It's the number one cause of bankruptcy. Over 500,000 bankruptcies due to bills they can't pay. We should have education that is meant to be helping those who want to progress in life do so instead of an entitlement. And how in the world are we supposed to justify classes that cannot read or write, that are functionally illiterate, and put them into colleges? Then the college has to maladapt and lie and say, well, they're allowed in, but they don't have any qualifications to get in. There's no meritocracy. And by the way, those of you who are studying and who want to go, well, we cannot any longer honor you. You're last to get in. Hold on. Why should I be last to get into a college when I have been the first in my homework, in my discipline, understanding my courses and studies? Because we want the least to become the most without any effort in doing it. This is the world we live in. We are forcing discrimination at every level. We are forcing authoritarianism at every level. We're forcing the private industries, the healthcare industry, big pharma, Silicon Valley, the tech firms, into objectifying every part of our life and controlling it. Last night on Tucker Carlson, he had a good clip with Elon Musk. Do you remember yesterday? I gave you the actual amount of money, $130 billion. The Pentagon has set aside to weaponize artificial intelligence. That wasn't mentioned last night. Why hasn't there been a single investigation into gain-of-function research, not a single committee hearing on gain-of-function research? That is not to help protect your life. That is to weaponize a virus. That is a biological weapon. And any scientist worth a nickel would know that. You see, you don't have rights to information. For accurate, reliable, objective, and uncompromised news and journalism, all you get today are soap operas with people giving their opinion. This is not right. So we're going to help that 97-year-old woman? No, we will not. And yet we'll call ourselves supportive of senior citizens. We lie. I'm going to judge you on what you do, not what you say. Everybody can talk it. I want to see you walk it, especially this audience. And many of you have walked it. Good for you. I commend you. Most of you haven't. So, I'm going to give you two clips right now, back to back. The first clip is showing you right now, in real time, and watch it. If you don't know how to watch what I'm playing, I'm going to give it to you very easily. You simply go to prn.live and click on shows. prn.live, click on shows. Then click on all show archives. Then you will see Gary Knoll's show notes. That's what you're going to watch. All right? The first is stealing. We have more employers who are small business people than all the major Fortune 500 companies combined, including the government. If you add in all the government employees and the Fortune 500, small businesses employ more people. And there have been no protections for them whatsoever. This is Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon is a cesspool today. And who allowed that? The citizens allowed it. Which citizens? The citizens who chose not to engage. So what do you see? You're going to see a guy from a news station going around in broad daylight, people just walking out of stores, Home Depot and Nike and all these other stores, with garbage bags filled, a whole dolly filled, shopping carts filled with material that they're stealing. How much? Between $1 to $5 million per store. Minimal. And that's minimal. They think it's about five times more than that. So now stores are closing all over the United States in certain cities. And the question is, who are these people? How did they get there? What did their parents teach them or not teach them that allowed them to think that it was perfectly normal to steal? And what happens when Americans think it's okay to steal? Then comes the second part, which is about teaching and the violence in the classroom against the teachers. You have as much as $70,000 in some school districts in the United States per student. That is not going to the student nor the teacher. It's going to the layer upon layer of worthless, useless, dangerous, and completely nonsensical administrators and an equity issue people. So we're bankrupting a system, and I wouldn't send a kid today to any school in the United States. It'd be either homeschooling and then conferencing with school teachers who quit teaching, which more and more are. It's an enormous evacuation of that because they no longer want to be abused by the parent and the student. Today, if you're a school teacher, you could get yourself beaten to death, and the teacher would be blamed, not the student. Not a damn thing would be done to the student. Now, if they tried that with me, there'd be a different outcome. I can promise you I'm not Gandhi. And I think it is savagery that is happening, and the unions support it. By God, when are you going to go against your own unions? I'm a pro-union person, but not when the union's corrupt. So if you care about teachers, then care about them by showing that you're not going to allow them to be abused without consequence. But there's no consequence to any bad behavior day. You can rape someone, get away with it. If you rape them in New York, you'll definitely get away with it. Beat someone to death, you'll get away with it. This is what we become, meaning we become it when you accept it. When you can turn down your mindset for not being aware of what's occurring because I'm just one person, what can I do? Then watch how quickly society disintegrates. And we're seeing the disintegration of our society as we speak. It's only going to get worse. Here we go to this clip from Portland, Oregon.
It's more than just shoplifting. It's organized retail theft, which got me curious after watching these videos posted online. They show people ripping off stores, like this Target in North Portland.
Y'all stealing?
I mean, it looks like they're stealing a lot of stuff, with no real fear of getting caught. In many ways, it kind of reflects some of the broader issues we're dealing with in our city, like crime, accountability, and drugs.
What's the problem? This is the kind of community I don't want to live in, man. People take shit out of the store. Because I just watched them take 8 of those sweaters off the rack and walk straight out.
Tell me about this video. I'm fascinated by it.
I just see stuff getting loaded into a shopping cart.
Sean is the guy who shot the video last September. He didn't want me to show his face.
People go about their day oblivious to these kinds of activities that are going on. Unfortunately, it's becoming more and more common.
He worked in loss prevention for years.
For Fred Meyer, for Safeway, for Home Depot.
But got out because it was just too frustrating.
During that time, I've just seen things get more and more challenging and more difficult.
Most retailers, they don't allow their workers to physically stop shoplifters. It's too risky. People get hurt. Instead, they just take the loss. And the bad guys have figured that out. Last year in Portland, there were more than 3,000 cases of shoplifting reported to police. But that's likely a gross undercount. A recent survey found in most shoplifting cases, Portland retailers, they don't even bother filing police reports, citing a lack of police response, lack of prosecution, the incidents are just low level, or company policy.
I would say it's at a crisis level right now in Oregon.
How so?
Just the amount of groups that we see coming into stores on a daily basis. We see some of the same individuals that are hitting multiple retailers every single day.
Jeremy Gerard is with the Oregon Retail Crime Association of Oregon.
Who's getting hit?
Every retailer.
Big and small?
Big and small, yes.
He says some stores, again, these are individual stores, are losing as much as $1 to $5 million a year to theft.
And what kind of stuff is being stolen?
You know, anything that has a resale value is typically being targeted. Some of the items that we see that are stolen most often are fragrances, high-end purses, Levi, Nike.
So to protect themselves, stores are locking down items, like detergent, leaving shelves empty, and hiring armed security as a deterrent. But even that isn't enough. There's a stream of stolen merchandise just walking out the door.
In the time we've been driving around this huge parking lot, what's the likelihood that someone has committed a theft?
I'd say it's pretty likely. I've almost surprised we haven't seen someone run out of door as we drove by a few of these businesses.
It's that common?
It's that common, yes.
These stores are being hit on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, yes.
More than once?
More than once.
This surge in retail theft not only puts workers and shoppers at risk, but also drives up prices. And the crime, it bleeds into surrounding neighborhoods.
They'll just walk from the Nike store, come down here.
Oftentimes with armful of clothes and sneakers.
Paul Greenidge is a pastor at New Song Community Church in Northeast Portland. It sits just a block away from the Nike community store, which has become a target for thieves. They come running through the church parking lot with stolen merchandise all the time. What's your reaction when you see those videos?
Holy cow. Did they really do that? I'm a little, it's like.
Because it's so blatant.
Yes, exactly. I was going to use the word brazen. It just, it's like, really?
The pastor believes this crime, retail theft, it tears at the fabric of our community. It seems like this cuts deeper than just shoplifting.
Well, I think it speaks to the general idea that when the law is in place to help people do the right thing, and when the law is broken and it's not enforced, I think that's our problem. And so the people that are breaking the law have been given a free pass.
The solution? Retailers say they need more help from police, basically more officers. And prosecutors have got to go after shoplifters. Plus, there need to be tougher laws.
We're seeing this now in New York. We're seeing it around the country. But we're really seeing it at the worst in San Francisco, where you can take any shopping cart into any store in San Francisco you want, load up with anything you want up to $950, walk out. They can't touch you. They can't stop you from leaving the store. They cannot arrest you. And if a police is standing right there, they can't do anything. And then they'll turn right back around and go right back in the store with, and do it again and over and over and over again till the poor shop owner has nothing left in the store. And yet, that's okay. We're not going to change it. Because the progressive minds in San Francisco says, but it's a good thing. Okay. And defecating on the street is a good thing. If it weren't a good thing, we would do something about it, but we are not doing anything about it, so it's acceptable. I see. And you're allowed to punch people in the face. You're allowed to smack them. You're allowed to hurt them. And as long as you're not, you know, knifing them or gunning them, no one's going to do a thing about it. And you can see this in videos. We have reached the decline of our civilization. And now we're going into free fall. The free fall will happen in the next 24 months when the dollar loses its value and everything you pegged your worth on, your retirement funds, everything, including treasury bills that I would not recommend anyone get at this point, and your debt will destroy you. And yet no one will do a thing about it because we have become desensitized or feel helpless. And how does this happen? It happens to our educational system. This is a 32-minute clip. I'm only going to play you the first 5 minutes. I hope you're watching it. If you're not, this is an African-American teacher who wanted to help students and became a teacher because she wanted to help. And now she's quitting, as are thousands upon thousands of teachers. They're going into homeschooling and helping tutor and doing their webinars through teaching to people who still want to learn. Those in charter schools are still the best public schools you have in the United States by far. But of course, the unions wanted to shut them down, destroy them. And why? Because they actually have standards, because almost all the students graduate and are highly literate and do well getting into college. They don't need to get a free pass. They can pass the SAT test. This is the world we're living in. Ignore the problem, and therefore you automatically ignore the solution. Let's hear what she has to say.
Hi friends, this is Trish and welcome to Teacher Therapy. Today we're gonna be talking about a much requested topic, and that is the topic of why modern school discipline programs like PBIS and BIST and so many others just do not work. I think that we can all agree that the quality of parenting has changed. Therefore, I hate to say the quality of kids, but the moral development of kids that are coming into our classrooms are at a totally different place. In some other time, far, far away, it was kind of understood that, you know, you don't cuss the teacher out, you don't throw a desk across the room, you don't wear clothes that resemble a bathing suit, you don't yell and scream and try to intimidate people. Like, all of these things, it used to be kind of understood by the time you got to school that you just don't behave that way. It was almost unthinkable in certain eras. And even in 2023, if you were to go to other countries, other cultures, maybe even different sub-regions of of countries, you will find that some way, somehow, they've retained a lot of those values. But there are other pockets and other regions that kind of look like a zoo. I don't know how to say what it looks like. It just looks like chaos and complete mayhem. And strangely enough, those out of control schools are the very ones that gravitate toward these kind of new age discipline philosophies. Now, before I get further into the video, I kind of want to talk more about them specifically, like PBIS and BIST. BIST is another one that was actually really popular in my region, but I haven't seen it as popular nationally. But I want to talk about them more in case a few of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm going to overgeneralize here. So if you have a school that is using PBIS and it works amazing, please let me know in the comments. But basically, in general, a lot of these programs have completely gotten rid of like any negative consequences. So just for fun, I did a little poll yesterday about whether or not people think corporal punishment should be brought back. And unfortunately, it was one of those timed surveys. I didn't know how to take that option off, so it disappeared after 19 hours. But people actually voted more highly in favor of bringing back corporal punishment, but it wasn't as big of a gap as I thought. I want to say maybe around 55% of people voted yes and the rest voted no. But these days, corporal punishment is not just considered like paddling a kid, although that is legal in 19 states. Writing lines can be considered corporal punishment. Walking laps and doing exercises can be considered corporal punishment. Just basically anything that would bring about any kind of physical discomfort could be considered corporal punishment. But anyhow, in all of these new systems, all of that stuff is completely gone. They call that punitive and they say it's bad, bad, bad. In many instances, office referrals are completely off the table unless the kid is doing something so serious the cops should get called. And even things like taking away recess in a lot of these programs is a complete no-no. Now, here's where it gets kind of weird. They say that they're rewards-based in many ways, more so PBIS than BIST, but the way it really works out is it's not always the best behaved kids that are getting the most rewards like you would think. Oftentimes, the worst behaved kids are the ones that are getting all of the rewards because that's a teacher's only recourse. So they're trying everything that they can do to try to motivate the worst behaved kids by saying, you know, I'll give you 25 scholar dollars. I'll give you a bag of candy. I'll give you, you know, a 15-minute sit in the teacher's desk pass, just whatever we can think of, honestly, to motivate the most challenging students, because we know we can't just say, fine, you're sitting out of recess, or fine, that's detention for you. That's not there anymore. So what actually effectively ends up happening in a lot of these scenarios is the best behaved kids that are like always quiet and never causing a problem. Many times those kids get passed over and all of the attention still goes to the most misbehaved kids. So in weird ways, it's almost like their negative behavior is reinforced. And in even worse scenarios, believe this or not, many teachers will believe it. The worst behaved kids, if you do dare send them to the office, they will actually come back with snacks. They had iPad time. They got to spend one-on-one time with the principal, building a relationship, and oftentimes talking about how horrible the teacher is. And again, weirdly enough, a lot of these systems aren't even being used the way they're supposed to be. They're just kind of getting used in crisis mode and bribe the kid mode. And even more so, the worst behaved students actually get rewarded. So even if you totally 100 million percent disagree with corporal punishment, I want you to imagine how different classrooms would be if we brought it back tomorrow. And even if you took paddling off the table, let's say you mouth off to the teacher and you've got to do 20 push-ups, or you say, I'm not ever doing this assignment again, and you have to write lines over it. Or somebody came up with an amazing example in the comments of the survey yesterday. They said, why not bring back community service? Oh, you want to act up in the classroom? You get to scrub toilets with Dawn dish soap, of course. You know, we don't want any bad chemicals.
Again, I recommend that you watch the entire one. And I have attached to that about 20 other clips of teachers meeting together who've been teaching 20, 30 years who are all quitting because the system, the entire system of teaching in the United States at the high school and college and grade school level has been inverted, where you reward the most outlandish of the people. One case, a kid just almost beat a teacher to death, and the teacher was reprimanded, the student was not. This is what happens in a society who is in decline. What are your thoughts? We're going to say goodbye to WBI because they have to go to their news, but I'd like your input now. I have my own thoughts of how you can correct not just one, because who's going to be the most likely candidate to go out there and steal anything they can? Then who's going to be the most likely not just to steal? Because you're willing to steal something from someone, what are you willing not to do? You know the latest saying around the United States? Taking over a person's house, waiting till you're not home, going into it, and demanding that they now have squatter's rights. And in many states, they do. It can take you over a year to a year and a half to get your house back. You can't physically touch them. You can't have the police because it's not a criminal offense. It's a civil offense. And therefore, they have laws in the books to protect them, the person that invaded your house and took it over. They can tear it to pieces. They can destroy the house. They will not be held accountable until it goes to some form of long in the future legal outcome. They can eat all the food. They can run up your bills. You cannot turn off the water. You cannot turn off the electricity. They cannot be inconvenienced. You cannot go back into your house. Your house. Your house. Listen to what I'm saying. You own a house. You went away for a week. A squatter came in, and now it's their house. You cannot go back on the property. You can be arrested if you do. If you enter the house, your house, while they're in it, you can be arrested for trespassing in your own house. That's actually happening everywhere in America, except in a couple places where you don't want to go in someone's house because you'll have to call an ambulance before you do. But in New York, oh yeah, great place. Many places, and this is getting in now to the criminal element, so they're using these as safe houses. Gangs are. And people who a person would steal and know that they can't be arrested, they can crap on the streets, they can smack someone upside the head, they can beat someone in the face, but you can get away with it because they believe in it. Remember, what they don't challenge, they accept. What they accept, they believe in. Wow. Look how far down we've come in the people who are on these, the governors, the senators, legislators. But that's, hey, you're going to live there, that's on you. My suggestion, move. Because we're going to now see the complete new migration in America of safe places where you're not going to see people come into your house and try to take it for themselves. You're not going to see every store broken into and vandalized. You're not going to see people beaten, stabbed, raped. You're not going to be mandated what the state can do with your body. You better move now because it's going to get really bad. It is really bad. If you have a thought on this, share it now. 888-874-4888. I'm talking about if you change one dimension of your mind in a quantum way, then you're not going to be victimized by everything else that's going to happen because you didn't. I would rather have an understanding of all of these problems are interconnected. How likely is it a person going to actually engage in something that would help global warming if they can't deal with these issues? If you can't deal with these issues, you're not going to deal with global issues. You're not going to deal with domestic issues. You're not going to deal with human rights issues. Then you can say, I care about children, but I really don't. I care about women, but I really don't. I care about health, but I really don't. I care about my own health, but you wouldn't know it. And that's about 93% of all Americans. They're the problem. Now, is there a way of changing? Absolutely. Will we change? Absolutely not. I do not see any positive change occurring in the masses. I see the silent majority keeping silent. But what I do see is people understanding for their own survival, go to where you have quality of life. But even that will not motivate most people. You're going out today, can't go out today. Why not? Well, you know, people are going to steal. Going to go to the bank, can't go to the bank. Going to go shopping, can't go shopping. Why not? Why don't you move? Can't do that. Why not? Well, I don't do anything that I'm supposed to do. I see. I have a friend like that. It's never made a right decision in their life. Why should they start now? Or you say, it is the time to start now. I better do something, or I'm not going to have an opportunity to do it voluntarily or peacefully. That's where we're at, people. We're in a very dark, bad place. And if you think being rich can afford you all the protection you need, temporarily, you're right. But how about that very powerful, wealthy, highly respected multimillionaire producer in Hollywood whose wife was killed, even though he had an armed guard on the property? Suddenly 12,000 permits for private carry-ons from the rich. Oh, then they suddenly realize, gee whiz, it can impact me. I see we're out of time. I don't want to go into Eutrice's time, so we're going to give you some thoughts. Let this roll around in your mind. See if it makes sense to you. Listen, I'm not here to entertain you. You want entertainment? Listen to some, listen to Howard Stern. I'm here to challenge everything about your life so you can live a more authentic life, in which case you will have peace, you'll have love, happiness, without effort. You'll be able to deal with life issues without being a part of the drama yourself. And for that, we have to be willing to face the dark side of our being. If you don't do that, then all you've got is a pretense to a light side. Have a nice day, everyone.